pastors, disciples, ministry leaders. How many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider: 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Text in Church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Text in Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.
Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com for more information and to start your application online. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
God's helping us. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 12, the book of Romans in chapter 12. Number of years ago, Apple computer had an ad campaign, and it some of you would remember posters of different famous people, Picasso or Einstein or Amelia Earhart, even Billy Graham made the cut, and the line was "Think different, think different." And of course, how that's stated, the idea, of course, is think different, and maybe don't go Microsoft, right? Go with Apple. Don't go IBM. Go Apple. But of course, when we say that, we are often thinking about thinking differently. So you can, there's two ways that that can be taken: thinking of a different thing, which is one way, or thinking in a different way. Thinking of a different thing and thinking a different way are different things. We, as believers in Jesus, we're not just called to think different things. We're called to think also in a different way, in a way that can only be done with the aid of the Holy Spirit. You know, my the Apple computer that it has just been recently retired would not receive the latest, or even one before this, the download of the upgrade of the software. It just couldn't handle it. Right? It had passed its ability to be able to receive, had to eventually get a new computer. You couldn't. The ability for it to receive whatever new information, right? Whatever new things were going to be going on to even process the old things in a proper way. It needed new hardware. Okay, so we need both, right? As we need new hardware when we give our lives to Jesus, a new mind, but that also involves a new way of thinking. And so we want to look at a very, very familiar passage, particularly in discipleship classes, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me and to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I want to talk about a renewed mind and think first of all about the issue of the will of God. I wasn't saved in our fellowship. I was saved in 1971 on a dance floor back in Beverly, Massachusetts, and eventually made it to a Protestant church and was there for some time. And as I'm entering into my last year of college and have some very, very general, unformed plans about what my future is going to be, the preacher that evening was the pastor emeritus of the church, a man by the name of Harold Auchengay, and he preached on this text. And so I went up to him after the service and just told him, you know, I'm really concerned about the will of God for my life. And he told me to write in my Bible, as best as I know how, I surrender my will to the will of God, to do with as he wills, and put the date on it. And that was... I'm remembering, I think, August 22nd, 1976. What was fascinating about that, it seemed like such a simple gesture, but within, by that date the next year, I was living in Prescott, Arizona, and had decided to stay there, and my destiny was obviously in some way linked to that decision. But thinking about that, that was very much just a very individualistic thing. Like, what, God, do you want me to do with my life? What do you want from my life? What does God want me to do? And that's a very, very good question. But it is often, what school do you want me to go to? Who do you want me to marry? Who, you know, what, these kinds of decisions. But there's a larger issue about the will of God that Paul is dealing with here. It's not just, are we going to do the individual will that he has for each of our lives, but are we going to do the will of God, what God wants done in the earth? Are we going to participate effectively, righteously, properly with what he is doing for in light of eternity. And so God has a very large purpose, and he has qualities of character and life and ministry that he wants in his people in order to fulfill that very large purpose. God not only has a will for each of our lives, he has a larger will. And so our text is calling us to lay down our bodies, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, so that we might prove what the will of God is, the mercies of God, all that has been done for us in Jesus, that he has been speaking about in the first 11 chapters of this book. And in light of the glorious mercy that he has shown us, and in light of the glorious mercy that he wants to extend to every lost soul on earth, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, God's eternal purpose in his Son, Jesus Christ, involves a mission. It involves a people. And we shall see it involves not just individuals on their own. It involves us being a people for a lost people. And it involves the kind of people we need to be, Jesus people. And when I use that term, I'm not talking about the Jesus people of the 1970s and late 1960s. I'm talking about people whose character are being supernaturally conformed to be Jesus people, Christ formed in us. Because being in the will of God, the fact that I ended up in Prescott, Arizona, that was the will of God for my life in a very general sense. But of course, am I going to be the man that I need to be in the will of God? There's a jillion decisions. What kind of job am I going to take? How am I going to treat my fellow workers, right? The fact that a number of my fellow workers got saved had, I trust, a lot to do with the kind of person I was there, not just that I was saying the right things, right? And so this is the, here's the issue, is a surrender to the larger purpose of God, that and being the people that God wants us to be to fulfill that purpose. I've pastored in Alamogordo, New Mexico. I pioneered a church there, went back and assisted Pastor Mitchell for a time, and then took the church in Tempe, Arizona for a period of time, went back and was assistant pastor again to the pastor in Prescott at that time, then launched to pioneered in Dover, New Hampshire, Salem, Massachusetts, Yucca Valley, California, McMinnville, Oregon, Yuma, Arizona, back to McMinnville. Each one of those places, I believe, was the will of God. But in those places, there were jillion decisions about the kind of things I should be doing, the kind of person I should be, right? How I was going to respond to the situations of life. That's all involved in discerning the will of God. Discerning the will of God is much more than, should I be in Alamogordo or Hobbs, right? Should I be in Tempe or in Phoenix, right? Should I be in McMinnville or Oregon City, right? Like, it's far more than that. It is what kind of person, and all the decisions involved in discerning God's will while you're doing the will of God. So let's look secondly at think. And hopefully that will make sense before we're done. Because you know how it is, you know, that old saying of Martin Luther, you know, the church is like a drunk peasant, you know, always falling off of one side of the donkey or the other. That's what the church is like, and that's what because the church is made up of people like you and me. That's what we're like. You know, there are people that are hyper-rational, right? They totally depend on analytical thinking to navigate all of life with no reference to God. God is not involved. He doesn't direct. You do the pros and the cons, and you figure it out, and it's just that's how you do it. And then there's the very spiritual people, right? Just disconnected from reality. Oh, just God spoke to me, and he told me what to have for breakfast. And it's like, you know, to an extreme that without any connection to rational thinking. And you know, one of the things I've so appreciated about my pastors, Pastor Mitchell, Pastor Greg, is that they're people that have that so well in balance. Pastor, leaders like Pastor Warner have that in balance, where they are very profoundly spiritual people, but their minds are also linked to the present realities that they are dealing with, and can hear from God in light of the situations at hand. That requires a spiritual mind. It has to do with how we think. See, there's something crucial about the mind if we're going to fulfill the will of God. You know, this passage here I have lived with for a good deal of my Christian life. Of course, I got saved on a dance floor. They weren't handing out convert cards and New Testaments when I prayed the sinner's prayer in the middle of a rock concert, right? I didn't even have a Bible, even a New Testament. I didn't have a New Testament for probably 6 months. Didn't have a Bible for nearly 9 months. So again, when I say this has been part of my Christian life, it was a little while before I ever ran across this text in the first place. But what I have never seen in all the years since, because obviously I've read this passage, I've heard many sermons on it, I've preached many sermons on it, I've read it a multitude of times, I have never seen the connection between Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 12.
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. We are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
You know, Paul is doing something in Romans, and many of the scholars today and preachers over the years, it's all about justification by faith. That's what Romans is about. Just write it down, and that's what it's all about. Well, it is about that, but it is about way, way more than that. And actually, even justification by faith has its context. You know what it's about? It's about that in the Roman church, there are a bunch of Jews, and there are a bunch of Gentiles, that both have come into the kingdom of God with their baggage. And they are responding to one another like with their baggage, like beating each other over the head with their baggage, right? And so Paul is trying to bring them together. Right? He's trying to bring them together. This is the whole thrust. Yes, Gentiles are sin. Romans 1, we're all sinners, right? And, you know, Gentiles are sinners, but look, you know, Jews are sinners too. And the only way that we can be saved is through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And then once you're saved, born again, that's wonderful, but you know, there's a flesh that you got to deal with. And we don't always do that successfully. In Romans 8, here's the Spirit of God who will help what we could not do. And it talks about an attitude towards Israel and an attitude towards the Jews and a respect and an honor. And so now in Romans chapter 12, now it's going to kick in. Okay, I laid all of that
foundation to say, here's where we're going. And where he's going is you guys need to get on the same page. You need to learn how to process your differences with a spiritual mind, because there is a world to reach for Jesus. This is all about fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament that Paul records in chapter 15, where he says, this is where we're going. There's a world to reach for Jesus. Leave your baggage behind. Get a new brain. Get a new mind so you can get along with one another and respect one another and co-labor together. It's all about the larger mission. The larger thing, not just the individual will for each Gentile or each Jew, to, you know, God, what's your will for my life? It is, God, what do you want to do through us as a people? What do you want to do through us? And that requires a spiritual mind. See, in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 12, there are echoes that I have never seen before. When you're reading, if you were reading Romans chapter, the book of Romans in its original language, it would be obvious to you that there are echoes of chapter 1 that are being addressed in chapter 12. And what do I mean by that? Because Romans chapter 1 talks about a darkened mind. That's the condition of humanity. In Romans chapter 1, they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise became fools. They worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased, and that's really an unproving mind, a mind that cannot approve properly to those things which are not fitting. They exchanged. And so these are the echoes, and I'm not going to take time to go through all of those. But the thing that struck me is that if we don't have a spiritually renewed mind, we are going to be darkened-minded Christians. We are going to bring the exact same mind, the exact same darkened, foolish mind that cannot discern the will of God if we don't have our minds renewed, that we can be, okay, God wants me in McMinnville, or God wants me in Tucson, God wants me in this place, but to be the man and to make the decisions necessary to be able to connect with my brethren and see the nations of the world reach with the gospel, that's going to require a renewed mind. See, humanity's mind had slipped the leash from acknowledging its creator and determined that they could figure this all out on their own. See, what Paul is saying is that we are hopeless and hell-bound as a people, but now we can be gloriously saved through the mercies of Jesus Christ, that he has come and died for us on the cross and risen from the dead and poured out his Spirit upon us, that we can now have a gloriously transformed mind, that now we can think in a way, we can think different. Not just think different thoughts, but think those thoughts differently. Not just put Christian thoughts in old categories. I don't know if you can, if I'm able to communicate this, but it's like there are folks that just make the decisions of life with Christian language, but they're not Christian decisions. Right? Like, you know, I know we aren't married, but the Lord spoke to me that it's okay. You know, it's like these these things. Doesn't the Bible say, love one another? That's all we're doing. And and of course, those are very foolish to say, but there are things. You know, people are wrestling through this time of pandemic, right? Grappling with this. And some of the thoughts with which they are processing this, they're just not Christian. you can slap a Christian term on it, like antichrist, and go for it. I'm not here to criticize. I'm just saying, are you approaching this day, this moment in time, with a Christian mind? And that means not just that you think Christian thoughts, that your thoughts have some basis in Christianity, but is your mind actually being renewed by the Holy Spirit himself to discern what the will of God is? What is the will of God? What kind of person does he want me to be in this pandemic? What kind of person does he want me to be when this is all over? Right? Are my decisions that I'm making about what I believe and how I treat people and how I view people and how I view government and how I view politics, am I making those decisions based on some very superficial Christian stuff, or am I really applying the truths of the Word of God to my marriage, my church family, my larger fellowship? Am I applying those through a renewed mind? Not just thinking Christian things, but thinking Christianly or spiritually. See, we notice that both from Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 12, human beings live in a corporate experience. Those darkened minds, right? Those minds that could not be approved and could not approve what the will of God was, those were reinforced by their culture, right? Those are all plural pronouns. They, right? Their foolish hearts were darkened. This is reinforced by their culture. Well, what our text is talking about is that if we're going to be a transformed people, if we're going to be the people that are going to take this gospel into the cities and into the nations of the world, then we need to be able to reinforce one another, right? That we need to not undermine what God's doing in our larger fellowship and in our church, individual churches, and not be at dagger points with each other, but to learn by the Spirit of God how to labor together and reinforce what is really valuable. Because this is, you know, it goes right to say, for we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. We're members of one another. We're members of Christ and members of one another. This, what Jesus does, he does through his body. What the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth, he does through the body of Jesus Christ. It's not just Lone Ranger Christians. That's probably too ancient a reference. Rambo 2, I don't know. Anyway, well, you upgrade me culturally. Like what we do, let me back up. Like how is a really renewed mind going to demonstrate itself? How you can be part of a body and keep it functioning with the right spirit for the larger eternal purpose of God, right? If you're beating your drum about some issue that you think is life and death, is that contributing to what God is doing? Maybe you're right about this thing that you're so upset about. But in light of eternity, right? In light of a lost humanity, in light of the larger purpose of God, is your beating that drum, is that serving the larger purpose that God is doing through his body. See, the title of this second point was think. And which is, you know, of course, needs some explanation. But the thing that gets us, from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and Romans chapter 4, you might realize, is chapter 3, is verse 3, right? The thing that gets us from Romans 12, 1 and 2, to Romans 12, verse 4, is verse 3. That's how, where's the transition? It's how you think. And so, Romans 12, 3, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to literally hyperthink, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, like I know. Nobody else really knows this, right? Nobody else has this insight. Nobody else really gets this. Oh, Pastor, he doesn't really get it. But I know. Don't think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And that word soberly is literally think with sober thinking. So the Greek word for think shows up four times in those verses. So you get it? So what a renewed mind, right? This is a renewed mind. It must change the way that you think. And the most important way is that you get a sober, Holy Spirit assessment of you. That I get a Holy Spirit assessment of me and how bright I think I am, right? How I know and nobody else does. Or me and my little clique, we know and nobody else does. See, we're going to, we got to keep our head in the game, right? Keep our head in the game of what God wants to do. And that requires a transformation of how we think. I've got to close with conform or transform. So that's the issue. See, the text warns us about a subtle but powerful influence of our age and its ability to dominate our inner life if we don't recognize it and see it. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this age. And many of you know that that word world there in the text is not cosmos, right? It's aeon. It can be translated world, and it can be translated age. Do not be conformed to this world, to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. Not just where you need to live, not just the general, you know, he wants me to be a pastor. He wants me to be a pillar. But what kind, how are you going to discern God's will daily and what that's going to mean? And the kind of person that you should be and the kinds of things that you should be about. Discerning God's will can't happen if we allow this age to shape our minds and therefore our inner life. Pastor Mitchell said for years, most Christians serve God in their own will. I will serve God to the limits of my own will. When it crosses my will, then we're done. Right? Then I come up with a religious justification for how I can do what I want to do. Which means, of course, that most Christians are more conformed than transformed, which is such a sad thing when there's a world to reach for Jesus. That most Christians are conformed rather than transformed, because we think, no, it's just me. I'm my own man. No, this world doesn't tell me what to do. Yeah, somebody is. The same spirit of this age, just a religious expression of it. And I'm not talking about intellect or the knowledge of Bible things. The people who resisted Jesus knew more of their Bible probably than the disciples did, right? And I'm not putting down Bible knowledge, but you do read your Bible, know it, but that's not enough. You must have the active working of the Holy Spirit, taking the Word of God and causing our minds to be supernaturally renewed by it. And we can think, if I just read it, it will happen. That would be great. There is an impact there. I don't want to diminish that. But this is talking about something more than just reading your Bible every day. And do that.
Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. I was a missionary in Guatemala for almost 16 years. And I thought that the only inheritance I'd leave my kids was the most important one, the spiritual legacy. When God brought me back to the United States, my family had only our clothes and computer. Since then, God has blessed me financially, and not through having a big church. Find out how you can steward your finances to prosperity and bless your children. Show them that serving God has blessings both here on earth and in the future in heaven. Call me today, 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.
See, we're talking about a living sacrifice. You know, in some ways, of course, that's an oxymoron, right? Because a sacrifice is something that dies, but it's a living sacrifice. And, you know, the problem with the living sacrifices is that they crawl off the altar, you know, and so we've all used that term. But let's think for a moment, a living sacrifice. Think of it as a sacrifice alive with the Spirit of God, alive but surrendered. Alive and surrendered, that your surrender is really the fruit of the life that the Spirit of God has put in you. You are not just, okay, Kevin Foley has said, okay, whatever you want to do with my life, and wrote it in his Bible in 1976. It is a sacrifice that's living by the power of the Spirit of God in us. And we can say, I don't see the Holy Spirit in any of these verses. And you have to know that Paul has been moving all the way through from Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 8, where he is talking about a spiritual mind. Right, verses 5 and 6 of Romans chapter 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things that the flesh desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Right, like that's not just ancient history. This is what that looks like. And the words that are used in this text are all seen as the work of the Holy Spirit. Like the renewed mind, renewing is a work of the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Renewing is a work of the Spirit of God, being transformed. Being transformed, that word, metamorphosis, right? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord, right? That being transformed is a Holy Spirit work. Thinking soberly. That's a crucial part of that. That is a Holy Spirit work. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind. That's the same word, a sober mind. It has the same root. See, we have to resist the conforming power of this present age. There is the world, there's the flesh, and the devil, right? All of those linking in order to keep our minds, though we're saved, though we got saved, but keep them darkened, keep them unable to discern the will of God in how it is lived out moment by moment. In my marriage, how do I deal with conflict? How do I deal with misunderstanding? Right, as I pastor people, how do I deal with failing people? How do I feel with discouraged people? I'm a pastor. I just do whatever I feel. No, you need a mind that's able to discern and approve this. I can see this is what God wants in this situation. We have to resist the conforming power of this present age that is the incubation point for all kinds of sin and violation of human life. Whether you're a Christian ministering, whether you're out in the world, right? It's like if we don't have our minds renewed by the Holy Spirit. You know, I came back to McMinnville. It's just been a few weeks after, more than 10 years ago. You know, that was a decision that was made then. According, in those last 10 years, there have been lots of crucial decisions of how to respond to some of the challenges and issues. And have I made every call right? Absolutely not. I know that. But I also know my only hope to be able to discern, it's not just chapter and verse. I need chapter and verse. I have to have this book, this word of God. But which chapter, which verse applies in this one? How, with what spirit? See, this is what I pray before every time I preach, or I try to. God, give me a right spirit. Like, help me to think properly. I need a supernaturally renewed mind. And so this is something we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service. That's the kind of surrender that makes sense in light of who God is. But we're sacrifices that have been made alive by the Holy Spirit. We can only live out a sacrificed life by that life of the Spirit within us, producing that character of Jesus who gave his life. Right? We're to imitate him. We're to take up his cross and follow him. How do we do that? As faltering, frail human beings, self-interest at the core of our being, only if the Spirit of God is producing the character of Jesus inside of us. If he is helping us think soberly about who we are in relation to him and relation to one another, it's only the Spirit of God that can do that. And it involves a transformation of our character, but it absolutely must involve renewing of our minds. And so we need to pray this way. We need to read our Bibles. We need to respond with the right spirit to the ministry of the Word of God that comes forth from the pulpits. When brothers even speak some correction into our life, and maybe they don't just say it just right, right? They didn't give us a compliment sandwich, you know. They said something nice, and then they give the, and then they said something. And, oh, you didn't say it just right. Let's say, God, if it's true, I'll sit at its feet. I'll humble myself. I want to be able to discern the will of God. I want to be able to do the will of God, to make my contribution, not just what's God have for me. I want to make my contribution to the overall thing. One of the challenges we face as pastors is, you know, we have this, I'm not really into this. This is more my thing. Well, right now we don't really need somebody doing that thing. Yeah, but that's me. Okay. How about being like the Jesus me, right? That it can just come and just flow with what your brothers and sisters need with a right spirit. Okay, well, I'll do it. No, right? Like we're talking about a renewed mind. And the glory of it, it is available. It's available to us by the Spirit of God. Amen. Maybe we could bow our heads and close our eyes, and you're